Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging, clinging close to Thee. Let Thy precious blood applied keep me ever, ever near Thy side. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go. Trusting Thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. Let me love Thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee.
All right, now let's turn our Bibles over to Luke chapter 2. Or excuse me, Luke chapter 3. Chapter 3. Title of my message this evening, John, a Faithful Preacher. John, a faithful preacher. And John was, oh, how God used him. His birth was foretold. Remember, the angel Gabriel came and told his father that he was, while he was in the temple ministry, attending to the offering of the incense. And angel Gabriel came and said, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a child. Your wife's going to conceive and have a child. Oh, he thought, that ain't going to happen. So God struck him dumb. He was dumb until John was born. Until John was born. And because of his unbelief, that's what the Scripture said. So he was foretold, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, just hearing Christ's mother's voice, and spoke about the Lord Jesus. But last week we talked about the fruits of repentance. Fruits of repentance. You know, there was a group that came to John. John said, oh, you generation of vipers. How in the world are you going to escape? What are you doing here? What's the reason you come to be baptized? How you think you go? Where's your fruits of repentance? Well, when they heard him talk to them people like that, they began to ask him questions. Different classes did. What shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? What is it, if we're supposed to have these fruits of repentance, what would they be? What would they be? And so John told them. And then, see, John was called of God. Called of God. I'm not just saying this to try to make myself look good or anything, but I did, you know, from this week's newspaper article, got a letter from a Baptist preacher. Oh, he's mad. Oh, he's so mad. He's really, really mad. Oh, he's mad. And I just laughed at it this way I'm doing now. But, you know, he made the point twice that I'm a Baptist preacher. And I know what God's taught me. Well, God didn't. He taught him much, but I do know this, that John was called of God. John was called of God. Not very many men are called of God. You look in the Scriptures, there weren't very many men called of God. In fact, after Judas forsook the Lord Jesus and betrayed him, there was only 11 left. And then he turned this world upside down with 12 men. Paul the Apostle being one. He never has had a lot of preachers. He don't need a lot. God can take one man and do an incredible work. Always has and always will. So John was called of God. He was ordained a prophet. Ordained a prophet. Separated from his mother's womb. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And he was commended by the Lord Jesus Christ, even himself. And he was faithful to his calling. He was faithful to his ordination. He was faithful to the message that was committed to him. He was faithful. And look at his... Now here in verse 15 is where we're going to pick up and go down through verse 20. And let's read them, then we'll go back and deal with them. And as the people were in expectation, you know, he began to tell them, you know, the soldiers what to do, the publicans what to do, and the people that came to him when they said, what shall we do? And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So here we see John being faithful. And this is the first thing I want to notice about John's preaching there in verse 15. His preaching got men to thinking. His preaching confronted men, and they began to muse. His preaching got them to thinking, got them to consider what he was saying, because of the power that was upon him, because he was being used of God. And it got men to thinking. And as the people were in expectation, that word expectation means in suspense. In suspense. And then they mused in their hearts. They wondered in their hearts. They thought in their hearts. You know, over in this kind of neck of the woods, when people say, I studied about, that don't mean they got a book down and started studying about something out of a book. That means they're thinking. I couldn't tell you how many times Brother Albert Blaylock would say to me, Donnie, I studied about it. That means he's thinking about it. Floyd says it all the time. I've been studying about it. That don't mean he's got some book down and trying to look it over. It's just been thinking. And that's what these people were doing. They were studying. They were musing in their hearts. And they began to think in their hearts. In their hearts. Preaching is intended to go to the heart, confront men's minds and go past the mind to get to the heart, get to the soul. And what were they expecting about? What were these people in suspense about? What were they expecting about? What were they musing about? Well, they were musing about Christ. Who was the Christ? When was he coming? And whether John was the Christ or not. And that's the thing that they began to consider in his preaching. Because they understood that someone would come before the Lord Jesus Christ with great power and the spirit and power of Elijah, and that he would turn people's hearts, men's hearts, to the Lord. And that's what they were considering, whether John was the Christ or not. Now, why would love for my preaching that it would set men to thinking, set them to musing in their heart about who is Christ? I would that the men that I could preach to would consider who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what John had them, that's what they were thinking about. They were saying, is this the Christ? Is it not him? But they were thinking, Christ, when is he coming? Is this him? And oh, there are so many that God is not at all in their thoughts. You can read that in Psalm 10. The Scripture says, the wicked says God is not in all their thoughts. And when men start inquiring in their minds, who is Christ? Where is Christ at? When is Christ coming? That's a good thing. That's a blessing thing. And it's a hopeful thing. You see, the average man, the carnal man, the unconverted man, he's always thoughtless about the things of God Almighty. He's thoughtless. He has a thoughtlessness about the things of Christ. So if his mind gets taken from where he's at, and his heart gets taken from where he's at, and he begins to start considering the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a blessed thing. That's a good thing. And I hope and pray that God in His sovereign mercy will start doing that among us. That there would be some people among us who would start considering Christ who never considered Him before. That would see Him and desire Him and know where He's at and know what He did and know who He did it for. Just to start thinking about Christ and their relationship with Him. And if anybody ever does that, if Christ ever crossed your mind, that was a blessing. And if it crossed your mind in such a way that you grasped Him and He laid hold of you, bless God for it. And I tell you, to get somebody to think about Christ is a great blessing. So John was faithful, and what he had done in his preaching, he got men to musing about who Christ is. And then he was faithful to the Lord Jesus Himself. Look here in verse 16. They mused in their hearts whether He were the Christ or not. John answered. This is what he said. Told every one of them the same thing. He didn't get a bunch over here and tell them one thing, a bunch over here and tell them another. He didn't get among the Pharisees and preach one thing to them, get over here to the Sadducees and tell them something else. He wasn't one of them kind of preachers that he was any man's dog who would hunt with him. He wasn't that way at all. I mean, what John said to one, he said to all. I mean, you wouldn't find no wavering about him. Our Lord said, what would you have to see? A reed shaken with the wind? He said, John's a prophet. And these men that can be bent with the wind, be bent with what's going on with the day. If you got any issue, if a man takes up any issue other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a reed shaken with the wind. Christ must be our issue. And look what he went on to say here now. He answered them, and he answered all of them exactly the same thing. I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I. See, he was faithful to Christ. Faithful to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's one thing that really stood out in John's ministry. He pointed men to Christ. He said, well, who's Christ? He said, there's one coming. There's one coming. You see, and He's so much greater than I am. He is so much more glorious than I am. He's so much higher than I am. He is as far above me as the heavens is from the earth. He is so far above me and mightier than I that if I could and thought I'm not even worthy to get down, and they had a shoe latch on their sandals, and take that shoe latch and loosen it so that he could take his own sandals off. I'm not worthy to even do that for this one. Not even worthy to do that. Mightier than I. And oh, he's coming. And I'm here to prepare his way for him. And oh my, he wouldn't take honor to himself. No, John wouldn't. He said, oh, you know, he could have said, well, boy, these folks really think an awful lot of me. They see Christ in me. He could have felt real good about himself. But he didn't. He really understood what he was. I'm not even worthy to take the shoe latch of Christ. Not even worthy to do anything for Him that would be worthy of being done for Him. That's what he's saying. You say, well, that's such a little thing. But he is so much more worthy. That would be the least thing to do. But that is so far beneath what he's worthy of. And oh, he wouldn't take any honor to himself. He wouldn't allow anything about himself to detract from his master. He was like the apostle. When the apostle said, you know, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. And oh, John said it this way. He said, he must increase. They come and said, oh my, John, what about you? He must increase. He's the one that's got to increase. I've got to go down. He's got to go up. And old Joe Turrell used an illustration one time about people being on seesaw. I've been a long time since I've been on seesaw, but I, you know, used to have these great big ones at these parks. You get on them seesaw, we'd make them out of boards sometimes, put them on a block or something and just get a board and rock back and forth. But you get on them seesaws, and the feller that's down here puts the other one up this way. And if you're big enough, you can keep that feller up there. But if this is down here, you're up like that. And beloved, by the grace of God, we need to stay down here. Christ needs to stay up there. Never try to put Him down, not even level with us. We're always down here. We ought to always be looking up at Him. Huh? And oh my, how can we tell whether a preacher's sound in the faith? How can we tell? Here's John. How can we tell whether a preacher's sound in the faith? Where's Christ in his preaching? That's the first thing to ask. Where's Christ in his preaching? Where is the Lamb in his preaching? Huh? You see, he said, Christ is coming. There cometh one after me. There's coming one after me. But now we're not saying Christ is coming. We say he has come. That he has come. He's already here. And he's accomplished the salvation that John said he would accomplish when he came. And here's the thing to ask. Whether a preacher's sound in the faith or not, is Christ magnified in the preaching before my heart? Huh? A preacher who is doing us good is one who makes us think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes us understand that He's all and in all. You see, we got the man who does us the most good is the man who makes us be Christ-centric in our thinking, Christ-centric in our conversation, Christ-centric when we read the Scriptures. Christ must be all. And when we consider our salvation, when we consider our relationship with God, when we consider our relationship with one another, there can only be one thing. In our salvation, in our fellowship, in everything about us, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is all and in all. And I'll never forget when I really saw that and understood that and got a grasp of that by the Holy Ghost, that Christ, if you see the Lord Jesus Christ, see His blessed person. I'm going to preach tomorrow night up at Tom's. I'm going to preach on Christ gave Himself. What is Himself? Whatever Himself is, that's what He gave. Whatever made Him, Him, Him. And myself's got to be taken out of the way. Take self out of the way and put Himself in my place. And oh, Himself, all that made Him, Him. And that's why John said, He's mightier than I. Oh, He's so much more glorious than I am. And oh my, look at the vast, vast difference between the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the greatest prophet our Lord Jesus said who was ever born of a woman. Look at the difference between them. John said here in verse 16, I indeed baptize you with water. That's all I can do. I can get you wet. But look what He can do. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I can only deal with the outward man. But He deals with the inward man. I get you wet. I can't change your heart. He can come in and change your heart. He can change your very nature. I can tell you to repent. He can give you repentance. I can tell you that He can bear the judgment for you. And that's what it means, Holy Ghost and fire. Fire has a purifying and an emblem of judgment. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes and saves us and baptizes us by the Spirit into Christ, He's already bore the judgment. He's done purified us with His own blood. But that fire is an emblem that when He comes, He purifies us and judges us all at the same time. Oh, when the Holy Ghost comes, He makes us understand how. When He has come, He'll do what? Convince you of what? Sin. Oh, that fire going to come and it makes you bear the judgment and understand it. He comes and takes it away. Oh, my. You see, we can take We'll do this next week, God willing. We can give you bread. We can give you wine. We can pass it out. Us men here can take the bread and the wine, hand you a piece of bread, give you a cup of wine. But only the Lord Jesus can enable you to eat His flesh and drink His blood by faith. Huh? Ain't that right? And oh my, may we have this blessed experience of the Holy Ghost coming and immersing us and just covering us like it was on the day of Pentecost, coming with fire, cloven tongues of fire. And oh, may we have this experience of the Holy Ghost and fire, the baptism of fire. We've been baptized with water. Most of us have. But have we ever been baptized by the Holy Ghost? Has the Holy Ghost ever come and covered us and put us and united us to Christ? That's what the Spirit does. He puts us in Christ. Having the baptism of the Holy Ghost don't make you see visions. Don't make you speak in a language that nobody knows. It don't make you run aisles. It don't make you lay back with your eyes in your head. It don't make you dance around the church. That's what they call them people, Pentecostals, holy rollers, because they thought they were so holy, you know, and they'd get holy. The holier they got, the more they'd roll. There ain't nothing to that. No, no. To be baptized into Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Huh? And then not only is He says, look at the vast difference. All I can do is baptize you with water, but He can come and do something for you. And oh, look what He says. He said, He's the great separator. I said, I can't separate men. He said in verse 17, oh, how exalted the Master here, whose fan is in His hand, and He will throughly. That word, we know most people when they read that, they read thoroughly. Know what the throughly means? Entirely. Not inside out, just completely. He'll do it throughly. I mean, when it's done, there will be nothing left to do. Now watch this. And He will gather the wheat into His garner, but the chaff He will burn with fire unquenchable. He's going to, not only is He the one that baptized you with the Holy Ghost in fire and change your nature and grant you repentance and give you the new birth, but He's the great separator. The Scripture says, whose fan is in His hand. You see, He knows the difference in the wheat and the chaff. I don't know how many illustrations our Lord gave us. He talked about the wheat and the tares. He said, let them grow together. He talked about the gospel. It went out and it caught. It's like a net that you throw out the fish and you got good fish and bad fish in the net. And here He talks about the wheat and the chaff. You see, He knows the difference in them. And He's the only one who does. You know, you may look like wheat to me, but you may be chaff. But how in the world would I know? And I may think you're chaff, and you may be wheat. And that's exactly what He's saying here. All we can do is think we know something. Huh? And here in the visible church, any place you go, in the visible church on this earth, there's a mixed multitude. Always has been. Mixed with believers and unbelievers. And they sit side by side. Sit right side by side. Huh? And who's able to judge between them? If they all have a profession, if everybody makes a confession, who's able to judge between them? Huh? There's some false professors who pass for the real thing. I mean, they pass for the real thing. You'll look at them for years and years and years and years, and you'll never suspect nothing until they go haywire. They may never go haywire. And then there's some who are so weak. Our Lord called them smoking flax. Smoking flax. Some are so weak and so feeble, and the grace that's in them is so weak and feeble that you say, man, it's just impossible. Who can tell the difference? I'll tell you who can tell the difference. Christ can. And He's the only one that can separate. And not only must He do it here, but He will do it in the last day. In the last day, He'll separate. Oh, there'll be such a separation. You know, we just had these tornadoes go through. And there's a perfect illustration. Everything that could be shaken in the past of those things was shaken. Was shaken, was moved. The only thing that cannot, that can't be moved, that's the only thing that remains. And Christ, the Scripture said, shall shake everything and remove everything that can be moved. And the only thing left standing will be those in Him. Huh? That has a foundation. And oh my, that's a... You know, we all have our opinions. We all have our feelings about different things and different people and different things. But I tell you, when it comes right down to it, we truly do not know. Do we? We don't know. You know, I asked Henry Mahan that one time. I said, I'm talking about people that seemingly have little interest and can take it and leave it and go for several days and not hear the gospel and do things. He says, you know, there's a lot of people, Brother Donnie, that can live on the husk. He said, I don't know how they do it, but they do. They do. I don't know how they do it. But oh my, only Christ can tell. I'm going to leave that up to Him. And that's why I don't try to tell people how to live, where they ought to go. And because I'll tell you why. The shepherd's responsible for the sheep. And just as sure as I start trying to winnow your things here and trying to shake things out here, I'll end up throwing some wheat in with the chaff and some chaff in with the wheat. And I'll get them mixed up. And they won't neither will them be worth it. Ain't that right? Have you ever thought, have you ever felt that way? You make a judgment about somebody and come to find out when you spend any time with them at all, say, boy, they're not anything at all like I thought they were. And oh, and look what it says here about him. It says, whose fan is in his hand? The fan is his. Talk about it. He's got to do it all. The scripture says the floor is his. It's his floor. Ain't that what it says? It says, and the wheat is his. The garner is his. And he does the gathering. And he's the one that takes the fan and separates. And separates. And all, whenever, and all the wheat's gathered in, everything's not wheat's going to be burnt. Burnt with fire, unquenchable. And then it says, John, and with many other things in his exhortation, preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evil which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. And this tells us that John's reward, he exalted Christ, he's faithful to Christ, faithful to these men, that John's reward wasn't in this world. He didn't look for his reward in this world. And you know, when Luke started writing, he said, most excellent Theophilus, I set out to write things in order. And so when he got through with John, he's done with John. He started out with John in other places that dealt a lot with John the Baptist. Here, he just started out with his ministry and ended with it in just a very few verses. And so that's the order that he's going to deal with one thing at a time. He's going to deal with John's ministry. And oh, here he comes. And here's what happens to him. His reward wasn't in this world. Everybody wondered whether he's the Christ or not. But oh, when he reproved, see, he wouldn't compromise the whole holy law of God, not even for a king. Here's Herod the prince, Herod the ruler of the Jews. And he was reproved. What did John do? He preached to him. Told him the truth. Evidently, there was a place where the king was. There was a place where John was. And he got an opportunity to tell him. What did he tell him? Herod, you took your brother's wife. You destroyed one marriage and destroyed your own. And here you are, you took your brother's wife. And that's not a lawful thing for you to do. God's going to judge you for that. God's going to judge you fiercely and greatly for that. And what did old Herod do? And he, not only that, but he told him all the evils he'd done. Evidently, he pointed out several things about old Herod. He just didn't preach it. He just laid Herod bare. Laid him bare. And then what did he do? You thought, oh, thank God the man come and told me the truth. Thank God a man come and expose my heart. Showed me my need of Christ. Thank God somebody come and showed me the error of my ways, my sinfulness, my wickedness, and oh my, I'm going to turn to God. No, no. What did he do? Ain't nobody going to talk to me like this. And above all the evils that he done, besides taking his brother Philip's wife and all the other evils he done, he put John in prison. He said, I'll shut his mouth once and for all. Nobody will have to listen to that fool again. That's what he's thinking. That's exactly what he's thinking. And oh, beloved, but he wouldn't compromise the law of God, not even for a king. John was hated and rejected by many. But oh boy, what did he have laid up for him in heaven? Oh, he had an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And he's been in glory for these many centuries. He was 6 months older than our Lord was. And he's been in heaven for all these centuries, enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying the company of the saints, enjoying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, enjoying Elijah and Elisha, enjoying the apostles when they arrived, and enjoying some of these folks here that he had the privilege of preaching to. He's been there many, many centuries. And Herod had been in hell for the same amount of time. And he thought, boy, you all know the story, what he had done with John. Well, that Herodias, Philip's wife, she really, really got mad. He said, he's just calling me a flip. He's calling me a Jezebel. He's calling me a hussy. That's what she was thinking. That's what she was thinking. And she said, boy, what can I do to get even with him? Well, she had a daughter. She had her daughter dance one day for Herod's birthday. And old Herod's having a big birthday party, and they're just having a time. And out come Herodias' daughter. She began to dance. Oh, she danced all around Herod and all that. Oh, I blessed. Oh, Herod enjoyed it so much. He said, I tell you what. You ask of me of anything to the half of my kingdom, half of it, up to the half of it, and I'll give it to you. Well, her mama said, come over here. I'm going to tell you exactly what we want. Now, you know, she's a young woman. She gets the opportunity to take half of the kingdom of Herod. Mama said, come here. I'm going to tell you what we want and what we need and what make us feel really good. You go back in there and you tell Herod that you want John the Baptist's head. And she come back in, she said, I want John the Baptist, and I want his head. I want to see it. And the scripture said, Herod said, oh me. But he had made a promise. He made a promise. There's soldiers standing over there, said, go down and get him. Go down and bring his head back up here. In just a few minutes, he went down there, and just a little while, he come back up there, and he had this big old round metal thing. John the Baptist's head sitting right in the middle of it. Carried out there, and they all gathered around the head of that preacher. And that preacher had already been in glory. He still had his head. And oh my, and I'll tell you one thing. They've been in hell, as old Barton said, all these years, Steve, and there they are. They're looking at John the Baptist's head on that charger. Oh, who would you rather be, John the Baptist or Herod? Easy to be John the Baptist. So his reward, we don't look for our reward here, do we? Our reward's not here. It's not here. It's in the world to come. Our Father, in the precious, holy, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts before you to thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, for your precious word, for the dear saints of God. Meet the need of every heart, every home in this congregation. Lord, we need you. You know the desires of our heart. You know the thoughts of our heart. You know what dear Lord, we'd have for ourselves, we'd have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for all you've done for us, all the prayers you've answered, all the needs you've met just in the last few days. Thank you, Lord. Bless these dear saints now, for Christ's sake. Amen.